going on, everyone? And welcome back to the D-Lord NBA podcast presented by CLNS Media, the leading online provider of audio and video content. I am your host, Devin Lord, and today is your episode for Monday, October 22nd. So we had quite an eventful weekend if you were into basketball. Of course, we had LeBron James making his debut in the Staples Center for his second game as a Laker. But before we get into that and all the eventful stuff that actually happened in that game, some quick stuff we do want to talk about. Chicago Bulls will be waiving Omer Asik, which that will save them $11 million this season. They will still have to pay him an additional $3 million for his partial guarantee next season for a total of $14.3 million, unless, of course, some team, for whatever reason, claims Omer Asik off of waivers, which is highly unlikely. We doubt any team will actually claim him. Omer Asik will become a free agent. And what did the Bulls do with that open spot? They went ahead and they signed a guard, Shaquille Harris. He played 23 games for the Phoenix Suns last year, averaged 6 points a game, averaged 2.7 rebounds in 23 games for the Phoenix Suns. I think it's a good move. You weren't going to play Omer Asik. He clearly was out the rotation. He's always injured. You're paying him a lot of money. He's 32 years old. A lot of reasons why you want to get rid of him. And they went ahead and they got rid of Omer Asik. So he will be going through waivers. He shouldn't be claimed. The Bulls are going to have to pay him, but he won't be on the roster. Now, going to LeBron James' game, his first game against the Houston Rockets in Staples Center. So they already lost to the Trailblazers, which was a pretty good fight by the Lakers. They looked pretty good to me. They played at a crazy pace, but they lost. They come back. They play against Houston, who we all know Houston is probably the second best team in the Western Conference. So a very tough test right out of the gate for LeBron James. Lakers, they end up losing. But in middle of that game, in the fourth quarter, they were trailing by 1 point. You had a play where James Harden went to the basket. He got fouled by Brandon Ingram. He didn't think it should have been a foul called on that play. He then shoved out the way James Harden. And what did that lead to? A lead led to the Rajon Rondo, Chris Paul fight. Now, we finally have the results exactly what happened. Yes, Rajon Rondo did in fact spit in the face of Chris Paul, which led him to kind of finger mushing the face of Rajon Rondo, which then led to punches being thrown on both sides. Brandon Ingram got a total of 4-game suspension, followed by Rajon Rondo, who got suspended for 3 games, and Chris Paul, who got suspended for a total of 2 games. Now, they're both going to be suspended without pay, which means Chris Paul, although he had the least amount of games suspended, he's going to have to lose the most amount of money because his contract, clearly, he gets paid way more than Rajon Rondo and Brandon Ingram. I think it's a very light suspension. I'm not going to lie. I thought the suspension would be way more than 2 games from Chris Paul. Rajon Rondo getting an extra game, you have to basically put that on him spitting. I think him spitting and instigating the fight is the reason why he got an extra game over Chris Paul. And then Brandon Ingram essentially started the confrontation. And then once the fight actually broke out, ran from half court to throw another punch. The NBA doesn't want players leaving the bench or running from half court to throw a punch. So that's why he's going to get the most games with 4-game suspension. Still light. I thought they would have been suspended way longer. But it does have some negative effects. For Chris Paul, he's out 2 games, of course. He missed the game against the Clippers last night. The Houston Rockets end up losing that game. So the Rockets already struggling with a 1-2 record. Then Houston plays Utah on Wednesday, and they are not going to have Chris Paul. And the Utah Jazz are looking like they could be the third or the fourth best team in this Western Conference. It's going to be a tough game right out of the gate, and it could be a situation where we see Houston potentially being 1-3 to start off the season. So that could have some negative impacts. When you look at the Lakers, they are already 0-2 on the year. So with that 0-2 record, you're without Rajon Rondo, your starting point guard for 3 games, without Brandon Ingram for the next 4. Who do they play during that time? Well, the first game is against the San Antonio Spurs. So you're going to play the Spurs without Rondo, without Brandon Ingram. That's going to be a tough one. Then you follow back that with the Phoenix Suns. That's still a game that you could win even without a Brandon Ingram, without a Rajon Rondo, hopefully, if they can figure out the right thing. Of course, Lonzo Ball should be the starting point guard. He has been shooting the ball a little bit better. Just side note, hopefully he can keep that up for Lakers fans. But you play the Suns, maybe you could get a win there. Then you play the Denver Nuggets, who have been looking very, very good so far this season. This offense from Denver is looking like it could be one of the best offenses in the NBA. You play that game without Rajon Rondo and Brandon Ingram. Then you play the San Antonio Spurs again. This time Rondo will be back, but Brandon Ingram will still be gone. So you play the Spurs twice. Then you play the Suns, and you play the Nuggets. When you look at this on paper, you can see a scenario where they go 1-3 in these next four games, which will bring their record to 1-6, or 1-5, excuse me, on the season. And that is definitely not the start you envisioned by a LeBron James-led Lakers team. So the suspension could definitely hurt the Lakers. Now, of course, you will hope Lonzo can step up in the absence of Rondo. You could hope that a Kyle Kuzma will step up in the absence of Brandon Ingram. And to me, Kyle Kuzma is going to step up. He is one of those guys that's going to look forward to the opportunity to playing more because Brandon Ingram isn't going to be there. And he's going to try to take that opportunity and make the most out of it. So I don't think that's going to be a huge loss. But you do lose a lengthy defender who can bring the ball up as well with Brandon Ingram not playing. I'm one of those guys who don't believe that B.I. should be the number two option for the Lakers. I like Brandon Ingram. I think he's a solid player. I don't think he's the second coming that everybody's trying to put him out to be. I don't think he's that type of guy that you can consistently rely on. So the fact that he'll be out four games, that will allow Kyle Kuzma to step in. Josh Hart should get some expanded minutes as well. I think Josh Hart should be starting over Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. But Josh Hart, he should be getting some extra minutes as well. The Lakers, they very well could come out of this. And they could come out of this four-game suspension, 2-2. And things could be okay. But it's definitely going to have some repercussions there. Although light suspension, they're definitely going to miss having Brandon Ingram and Rajon Rondo for those games. Now, looking at somebody who kind of showed out of nowhere, we're looking at Derrick Rose. So over the weekend, Derrick Rose, he's been tallying over 30 minutes a game so far this season. And Derrick Rose, if you remember, and you've been following, especially on my YouTube channel, I've been saying for a while, Derrick Rose, if given the opportunity, I think he could still easily get you 15 to upwards of 18 points per game, even 19 points per game if he gets the opportunity in the right system. I think Derrick Rose still is a great talent in the NBA. Of course, he's not as explosive or athletic as he was before, but you expect that with all of the injuries from Derrick Rose. But Derrick Rose can still ball. People sleep on him like he can't really get anything done. I think he's still an above average point guard. I'm not going to go out there and say he's an all-star or he's going to go out and show MVP flashes of himself, but he can still get the job done. And a lot of teams could use him as your starter, but he's still coming off of the bench from Minnesota. But what was the stat line that he posted over the weekend? He went 28-5-5. And during that game, he had a lot of flashes of the old Derrick Rose. Of course, he's not dunking the ball, but just able to slash and get to the basket, finish with some finesse, get at the free throw line, push with pace at times. Derrick Rose has been looking very, very good to me. Tom Thibodeau, he loves Derrick Rose, so I see Derrick Rose still getting these 25 minutes per game, up to 30 minutes per game. I don't see that stopping unless Derrick Rose goes through another injury. But that is the key for Derrick Rose, going through another injury. We know he gets hurt consistently. Can he get through an NBA season without being hurt? That is definitely the question. But if he can get through the majority, and when I mean majority, I'm talking about 50 to 60 plus games. I think Derrick Rose could definitely average easily 15 points per game, upwards of 18, 19 points per game. And I think Derrick Rose will have a good season. And I think he will put himself on the radar of a lot of teams moving forward in the summer of 2019. I think ultimately he probably still ends up in Minnesota. He likes Tibbs as a coach. Tibbs want him. But if Tibbs isn't there as coach, I can see Derrick Rose getting plenty of opportunities to play for another team. Now, we're going to talk about Golden State a little bit. Golden State, they are 2-1. They lost their first game of the season. They lost to the Denver Nuggets 100-98. So a very, very close game there, but you end up losing that game. The only reason I'm bringing this up is because they won that game. They had to come from behind, of course, to beat Utah 124-123 in a game where Klay Thompson hasn't been playing particularly well. In those two games, Klay Thompson is shooting 1-for-8 from the three-point line. Only made one, did not make any in yesterday's loss to Denver. 1-for-8 from the three-point line, and Klay Thompson hasn't really been a major factor at all. We know he's the third option, but the third option only getting you maybe 12 points here, 12, 13 points in this game. Klay Thompson hasn't been looking good this season on the offense side of the basketball and just shooting. He hasn't been looking that good this season, and it's gonna make things harder for Golden State, because Golden State already going through a regular season after winning three of the last four championships. You're not going to have all the motivation. So I don't think this is a huge red flag. I don't think all of a sudden Golden State isn't the favorites to win. And you look at the two teams that they went up against, the Denver Nuggets, a team who I think could have one of the best offenses in the league behind Golden State, of course, but their offense is very, very good, bringing almost everybody back, a lot of continuity already there. And then they're going to get even better late in the season when Isaiah Thomas does come back from his injury. But for Denver, Jokic, I think this guy is absolutely going to have a crazy year. It's going to be tough to beat the Denver Nuggets. The Utah Jazz, another team who I think one of the best teams in the Western Conference, who is bringing a lot of people back, who now has experience, especially from Donovan Mitchell, who's in his second year. He's not a rookie anymore, and he's confident. Those are the two teams that you went up against that was tough. You beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's a whole nother story. They haven't been looking very good. They lost again last night with Russell Westbrook back in the lineup. So I'm not really putting the Thunder as a top Western team right now. Maybe they could come into form, but people are getting a little worried about Golden State. I don't think you should worry about Golden State as a team. I do think it's a little concerning from Klay Thompson, but we know Klay Thompson has struggled before, and Klay Thompson has bounced back and shot like nothing ever happened. So that could very well be the case. But Klay Thompson is a very important year. I think he'll end back up in Golden State, but it is a potential that he can leave in the summer of 2019, which I highly doubt. I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's really going to happen realistically, but I do think there is the opportunity. Of course, anything can happen in the NBA, but Klay Thompson does need to get his shooting form kind of back together for Golden State to really be that team that's blowing teams out of the water. Like I said, it's early in the season. Golden State isn't going to be that motivated. Of course, they're going to get DeMarcus Cousins towards January, maybe February at the latest. But I think this team will be good to go. I don't think you should really worry about them. People are worried about them, but I don't really think they should be worried about them at this point. They're still 2-1, and you lost to a very good Denver Nuggets team with Klay Thompson not making a single three-point shot. We're going to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers and just how terrible they are. They are 0-3 on the season. I know Tristan Thompson said that he was going to be a superstar without LeBron James. That has not happened yet. He also said they are still the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. Well, they have been beaten. They're 0-3 this season, and it looked like an all-time low last night. They're in Cleveland at home, and you lose to the then winless Atlanta Hawks 133-111. It really was an ugly game to watch. Rookie Trae Young went off for 35 points against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Kent Bazemore had 23 points. for Cleveland. You look at what Cleveland is trying to do for the starters. I think George Hill is playing the best that he can play. The fact that he got you 16 points and 3 assists, I think that is the most you could ask for George Hill at this point. I don't think he's ever going to get back to the guy that a lot of people thought he had the potential to be. He's been playing okay for you this season, but this is the best performance you're going to get. Kevin Love, he has 16 and 17. I think Kevin Love is a real candidate to be traded before the NBA trade deadline. I don't know if Cleveland is going to keep this roster the way it is. I think they were giving it a shot, saying, yes, we lost LeBron, but we should still be a playoff team. But clearly, this Cleveland Cavaliers team is not a playoff team. They're not doing much on the court. And honestly, there's more drama off the court, especially with Tristan Thompson cheating on Chloe again. There's more drama off the court from Tristan Thompson than there is on the court for Cleveland. They're really not a good team. Jordan Clarkson, he had 19 points. Colin Sexton, I like this kid. I like the way he plays, but he has been struggling shooting the basketball. Can't deny it. Yes, he's only played 3 games in the NBA. Yes, I think he can turn things around in a season or two. But for Cleveland, I think you have to go ahead and blow this thing up. It's not going to work. J.R. Smith, he's on the bench. He's not getting playing time for you. Rodney Hood, there's no point in you signing him long term. I think you really realistically just need to blow this thing up in Cleveland. This roster you have with Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love with the new deal, they're not going to get it done. They are really not going to get it done watching these games. On the Sacramento Kings, they defeated the Oklahoma City Thunder. OKC, they are 0-3. So Paul George, he re-signs. He gets Russell Westbrook back last night, and they lose to the Sacramento Kings of all teams. Now, of course, this is Russell Westbrook's first game. We didn't know how good his conditioning was going to be. We didn't know how many minutes he was going to play. They told us before he would not be on a minute restriction. That held true. He played 35 minutes, had 32 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. So a typical Russell Westbrook stat line, flirting with that triple-double and getting you over 27 points per game. Paul George had 29, but other than that, we thought the bench was improved. I like Diallo, the rookie out of Kentucky. He had a good game last night. He had 11 points, 5 of 7 shooting, 2 assists, 2 steals. Dennis Schroeder, who I think could be the steal acquisition of the summer, able to get him for Carmelo Anthony. He had 14 points, 8 assists in 32 minutes. But other than that, you're really not getting any help. Nerlens Noel has really yet to make a factor in the lineup. Jeremy Grant has did a whole lot for you. Raymond Felton, he's not doing a whole lot for you. Ferguson shot 1 for 7. So that's not helping you. Steven Adams, he's doing what he typically does. He's going to grab a lot of rebounds and get you a few points. He did that yesterday at 10 and 14. But you're really not getting a whole lot of help. And OKC could be one of those teams that I do begin to worry about. It's early in the year. You still have 79 games left for the Thunder. But to be winless after the first week and to lose to the Sacramento Kings, who we know, you know, they're not always going to play like this. Who would have thought Iman Shumpert would have had 26 points? I don't think nobody would have guessed Shumpert would have went off for 26 points. So the Kings aren't always going to play like this, but the Thunder, just watching them, they're a team that I would be a little worried about, and I don't think they're the top echelon in the Western Conference, as most people think early in the season that they were going to still be there. I don't see the Thunder, and I was one of them thought the Thunder would be a lot better than they are, but I'm officially taking them down a tier. I don't see them being a top threat in the Western Conference. Now, for tonight, we have a ton of games happening tonight, starting on NBA TV at 7:30. You have the Orlando Magic taking on the Boston Celtics. I'm going to go with Boston in this one. I think the Boston Celtics are finally getting into the flow of things. Kyrie Irving has been struggling still, but there's still way too much for the Orlando Magic. I think they end up winning this game. The Charlotte Hornets and the Toronto Raptors. The Hornets have been playing very, very good basketball, mainly Kemba Walker this season. However, the Toronto Raptors are still the Toronto Raptors. They're still one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, and they're playing at home. I'm going to give this one to the Toronto Raptors. At 8 o'clock, you have the New York Knicks taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. No Kevin Knox in this one. He's going to be out for quite some time. So I'm going to go with Milwaukee easily. I think they're going to win by double figure points against the New York Knicks. Still at 8 o'clock, you have the Indiana Pacers taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Minnesota is at home, but I'm going to go with the Indiana Pacers. Timberwolves have been struggling a little bit. They're 1-2 on the year. Karl Anthony Towns has pulled a Houdini on this. We don't know where he is, what is going on with Karl Anthony Towns. He disappeared in the playoffs last season, and he's disappeared so far this regular season. So I'm going to go with the Indiana Pacers in that one. At 8:30, you have the Chicago Bulls taking on the Dallas Mavericks. I'm going to go with Dallas. I like what Luka Doncic has been doing so far. This kid is definitely for real. I was hesitant. Don't never know what players are going to do coming from overseas because I don't really know the competition that they're playing against. So it's hard for me to really truly gauge it. But Luka Doncic, he's living up to the hype. I like this kid a lot. I think they do beat the Chicago Bulls tonight. At 9 o'clock Eastern, you have the Utah Jazz taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. This one, I think, is going to be an easy one for Utah. Then they end up winning this one by double-digit points. You also have at 8 o'clock the Washington Wizards and the Portland Trail Blazers. The Wizards look pretty good in the preseason, but this is exactly why you don't get too high in the preseason. They looked like they were playing together as a team. I thought maybe they could do some damage. I still think they're a very talented team. But Portland, they're going to win this game tonight. They're going to send the Wizards to an 0-3 record. And then at 10:30 on NBA TV, the San Antonio Spurs taking on the Los Angeles Lakers. No Brandon Ingram, no Rajon Rondo, no win. They are in Staples Center, but I'm going to go with the San Antonio Spurs in this one. I think they will come out with the victory. Then the final game, you have the Golden State Warriors taking on the Phoenix Suns, trying to bounce back. I'm going to go with the Golden State Warriors. I think they tried to bounce back. They came off their loss. I don't think they're going to try to lose again. Phoenix Suns, they've been playing okay. They're 1-1 on the season. DeAndre Ayton, he is for real. I seen that. As soon as I seen it in Summer League, you know the kid is for real. But DeAndre Ayton is definitely for real. But I don't think they have enough for the Golden State Warriors. So that is everything that we have for today's episode. As always, if you would like to stay connected, make sure you follow me on Twitter at DLoydTV. That is DLLOYDTV. And if you want to stay up to date with all the latest news, rumors, everything going around the National Basketball Association, make sure you go ahead and subscribe to us on YouTube at DLoydNBA. Still trying to make that push for 30,000 subscribers. So every single subscription definitely helps out. That is everything that we have today. I enjoyed talking with you. I will talk to you tomorrow once again as we're here to recap all the NBA games and news that happens around the association. See you guys tomorrow. Peace.